You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880. The following Lutheran Hour sermon was delivered by the Reverend Wallace Schultz. Its title is, Jesus Understands Your Heavy Burdens. And now here's Reverend Schultz.
When the clever and the crafty and the mean and the merciless King Herod murdered the fiery preacher widely known as John the Baptist, this shocking news, the report of this senseless act, impacted thousands. Even Jesus, when he heard the news, he was greatly affected. In the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read this. And when Jesus heard that wicked Herod had murdered John the Baptist, Jesus withdrew to a lonely place by himself. Our blessed Redeemer's immediate act of compassion once again confirms the deep love that our Lord has, even today, for all those who are now suffering disappointment, discouragement, tears, and even death. This news of our Savior's compassionate response to the terrible murder of John the Baptist helps us to understand that when we today shed tears and when we weep in sorrow, our Savior bears our burdens with us. But even more encouraging is for us to see from the record of the Bible the total response that Jesus made. Our blessed Savior did not permit setbacks, and he would not allow failures, and he refused to permit either tears or grief to hold him down forever. Yes, Jesus moved on. In his messianic role, the blessed Redeemer realized then, and he also knows today, that even though tears may often come into our eyes, and our hearts may sometimes break as a result of grief, there is a bright and a certain future for all those who love God and live in communion with Him. This Spirit-inspired and Christ-centered attitude, possessed by faithful believers in the long-promised Messiah, was clearly captured and eloquently expressed by the hymn writer William Howe when over a century ago he wrote these lines to uplift the discouraged. William Howe wrote, But lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory, Jesus, passes on his way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, indeed, a message like this, a message of eternal and absolutely reliable hope. This is what you, and this is what I, and what the whole world needs to hear. We need to be lifted up by the message of God's grace. We need to be braced up by God's mercy. And we need to be firmed up by God's love. Our faltering hearts need the blessed assurance that God gives a special strength unto all those who must carry on in spite of family failures, failed romances, business disappointments, broken families, and even death. Oh, my friend, look again at the example of Jesus in our text for today and see how the deep emotional impact of the loss of a loved one could not hold down the one who is a powerful symbol of life eternal and the author of the final victory. And now today, you and I, as we by faith are tightly grafted into and forever joined with the crucified and resurrected Savior, we can also possess that same spiritual strength. In the Bible, we read that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ possess the same power that God the Father used to miraculously raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, let this be your hope, my friend. Let this be your hope. Let this gospel be your strength today. For just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, you, in spite of any tears or disappointments that you may have recently faced, you also shall be enabled by faith in Christ to walk in a new life of hope here on this earth and also forever in heaven. Not long ago, a major U.S. newspaper carried a picture exposing the bizarre activities of a thriving cult. This group, located in eastern Serbia, is known as the Cult of the Dead. This group builds miniature homes on top of graves of deceased relatives. And these detailed replicas of a modern dwelling, complete with windows and doors, also often include modern appliances. Sad to say, however, these well-intentioned efforts to assist the deceased only prolong the unnecessary misery of those grieving. And this bizarre activity also prevents the survivors from focusing on a hope for the future. Now I realize that in your family or personal life, you may not have dealt recently with death, but that makes no difference whatsoever. Other disappointments in life can also disrupt and even destroy one's strength. For these difficult times, your heart needs to hear the uplifting and faith-strengthening words of the psalmist when he wrote, "The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, O Lord, you have not forsaken those who seek thee. Declare among the people God's wonderful deeds. God does not forget the cry of the afflicted." Of course, we all know that this message of help and hope is needed for adults, but it is also urgently needed for our children. In a report to the American Academy of Pediatrics, psychologist John Pomeroy recently stated that in studies conducted over the last 10 years, we can see that the onset of depressive illness is occurring earlier and earlier. This specialist reported that children as young as 6 years old now suffer severe depression. And he added, the victims are getting younger all the time. As gloomy and as discouraging as this report on children is, we as believers in Christ must never give up. We must never be intimidated by the works of the devil, and neither can we afford to sit on the sidelines. We must faithfully follow the example of our text for today. Jesus, in our text, was grieved over the effects of sin, but he absolutely refused to remain stymied and broken down or held back. Instead, the Savior immediately pushed on. He looked ahead. He became part of the solution. And even as Jesus looked far ahead to his own suffering on the cruel cross, he recognized God's grace. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read that Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Therefore, especially those family members who have borne the tragedy of disruption and breakup, you must hear the good news of the gospel of hope. You must know the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ. Seminars and specialists can certainly assist in identifying the new challenges that now face and surely threaten families. But the salvation of this badly battered institution is going to be found only when we return in repentance to the author of marriage and the creator of families. Parents who raise children without daily prayers, without family devotions, and without the opportunity to learn about the love and the forgiveness of Jesus in Sunday school, these mothers and fathers are placing their own children in great temporal and eternal risk. Without the fortification of faith, children in our disrupted and violence-prone generation are open targets for the devil's arrows of affliction, of his arrows of suffering, and quite possibly even eternal damnation. Family problems and bankruptcies, illnesses, deaths, and divorce are not the only events in life that deal disruption and deliver discouragement. Just reading about the crass crookedness and the gross dishonesty that occurs every day has caused many people to simply give up on society and to turn helplessly and hopelessly inward. Not long ago, on its front page, the Wall Street Journal told about a 75-year-old widower who lives in a small frame house. This man has recently suffered a stroke, and he now barely gets by on his meager pension check. But that is only part of the story. The other side of the story is that this 75-year-old man at one time had a decent life savings. But then one day, another man who said he was from the International Trading Group, he called on the telephone. This salesman promised the elderly gentleman fantastic profits if he would only invest. Overpowered at the moment by the temptation of great profit, this elderly victim finally agreed and laid his money down. Now, of course, the rest is history. The elderly man was defrauded outright, and the guilty salesman was finally caught up with by federal authorities. This unrepentant crook had also swindled thousands of other elderly people out of their life savings. And so then we must ask, what happened to this crook? Well, the answer is not very much. At the time that this article appeared in the Wall Street Journal, the victim was living in his little house in Indiana with hardly any money. His life's savings had been stolen. But the crook who took all this poor man's money, this swindler, was still living in a 30-room mansion in Northern California, in a beautiful place facing an artificial lake and a 10,000-gallon swimming pool. And then what did the authorities do to this crook who brought so much misery to so many thousands of people? According to the Wall Street Journal, a court granted this swindler $50,000 a month for living expenses, which included a country club membership, service and maintenance for a dozen cars, and he was then also given an additional $200,000 a month in order to pay his legal expenses. Now, hearing about such an injustice is downright depressing, and that is also why it is impossible for us to go on in life if we have our hope only in this world. You need more. Yes, you need more, and I need more than a mere hope in this existence. We need the joyful anticipation of heaven in our hearts, and then with this sure conviction established firmly within us, the Bible-based conviction that we shall soon see our Savior face to face, we can then with absolute integrity, with courage, and with great boldness say with the Apostle Paul that the problems and the disappointments, the crookedness and the setbacks, and even the tragedies that we experience in our life, these are not to be compared with the glory that will soon be ours in heaven. Oh, let this faith, my friend, and the power to overcome the problems of this world be forever yours. Fix your eyes every day and focus your faith every week upon the bloody, the sin-atoning death that Jesus died. And as you permit the Spirit of God to convict your heart, that it was for your sins that the blessed Savior gave his life, and that it was you that Jesus saved from hell, then your heart will surely be filled to overflowing to speak the joy-laden words used by the hymn writer who wrote, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace." Jesus breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. Oh, see all your sins on Jesus laid. The Lamb of God was slain. His soul was once an offering made for every soul of man. So then, my friend, every time that the devil tries to trip you up, and every time that evil spirits of Satan try to block your path, then fix your eyes upon Jesus. Yes, let the Savior's example of absolutely refusing to be dragged down into the pits of despair, let this divine example be your help. Let Jesus be your hope. Let his atoning blood be your forgiveness. And let his eternal promise of salvation, both for this life and also for the life to come, fortify your faith and uplift your soul. And then may this holy gospel also enable you, when this life is over, to say, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing." Oh, let this, dear friends, be your daily confession and your hourly prayer. Don't ever give up. Lift up your eyes. Look unto Jesus, for it is he who is the author and the finisher of your saving and holy faith. Amen.
We hope hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.